Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I want to take a quick moment just to say thank you to Pastor Christopher as not only a person of color with a dramatically different experience of the world than mine as a white person, but also as a person who has spent so much time in study of ethics and racism, so much study that now you teach it. I'm especially grateful for your perspective and for your sharing today, so thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like to paint a picture for you. Now, I have a colleague and friend who sometimes when she preaches, she actually paints. I'm not doing that. But I'll paint a picture with words, and I hope that you can see what it is that I'm talking about as we explore this a little bit today. I want you to put yourself in a place where you're in a religious community, and you're in a religious community that just speaks your language, has a vision of the world that seems like it fits in with your vision of the world, that doesn't necessarily experience itself tied to old ways of doing things, but constantly looks at new ways to do things. Maybe even a faith community where you have a pastor who wears chucks. A faith community that is continually looking at new ways to experience the divine, new ways to include folks who have in other ways been excluded. It's a faith community that has been at odds with another faith community. A faith community that is steeped in tradition and doing things a particular way that perhaps on one hand, seems like it's the thing that the old fuddy-duddies do, and that maybe there's less importance in some of those traditions and more importance in doing things the new way, speaking a new truth, doing things that relate to the young folks. Now, I wonder if this picture that we've painted just over these last couple of minutes is a picture that sounds familiar to you. If you look at our congregation, if you look at other congregations, if maybe you might find this congregation in one of those rather than the other, or see another congregation embodied in there, perhaps there's some overlap. But I want you to know that other than the Chuck's reference, the picture that I'm painting for you is not a contemporary picture, but a picture of the audiences to whom Paul was writing when he wrote the letter to the church in Rome. Now, as we talked about a few weeks ago, when Paul wrote the letter to the church in Rome, he was writing to groupings of house churches. And there was a pretty deep divide between faithful Jewish Christians and faithful Gentile Christians. These Gentile Christians saying, listen, there's a new way of doing this faith thing. Jesus makes a difference, and we find that there are different ways that we can maybe step aside from some old traditions or some old rules and do things in some new ways. But there were also some faithful Jewish Christians who said, hold on, we still find a great deal of value in some of these traditions and some of these laws. This deep divide was in part because in ancient Rome, the Emperor Claudius had ejected all the Jews from the community, from out of Rome. And only recently, not long before Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome, had these Jewish persons been allowed back in the community. But in the Jews' absence, the rise of the Gentile church, there was a perception of more influence, more cultural power. So as the Jews came back into the community after the decree was laid aside, there were some tensions, there was some headbutting between the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians. And it's in this context that Paul is writing a majority of this, all of this letter. But in part, what Paul is trying to do is try to help these two differentiating groups of Christians see, even if you view your faith in different ways, there is value in each of these approaches to faith. And there is great beauty in each of you being able to not only see the differences, but celebrate the differences between one another. It stands out to me that in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he doesn't necessarily say that one is better than the other. What he does seem to say in my reading is that there is a great deal of value in uniting in love. Not in spite of your differences, but perhaps even because of your beautiful differences. And this particular section that we're about to read from Romans 11 seems to be a bit of a bookend from what we read back in Romans 8, that there is nothing can separate us from the power of God's love. Let's hear now from Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 2a, and then 29 to 32.
So I ask you, has God rejected his people? Absolutely not. I'm an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God hasn't rejected his people, whom he knew in advance. God's gifts and calling can't be taken back. Once you were disobedient to God, but now you have mercy because they were disobedient. In the same way, they have also been disobedient because of the mercy that you received, so now they can receive mercy too. God has locked up all people in disobedience in order to have mercy on all of them.
In the first verses that we read today, Paul is acknowledging, particularly to the Gentile Christians, hold on a second. Like, remember, Paul didn't start these churches, but Paul is a known figure. So Paul says, hang on a second. You know, if you're looking at those Jewish Christians and saying, well, you're not doing this Christian thing right, you can leave all this other stuff aside, remember, I'm a Jewish Christian too. That's what Paul's writing. He says, I'm an Israelite, a descendant from Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. He says, I'm in this group too, that sometimes you can look at and say, well, you're not doing it right. Later on, Paul draws an illustration of unity, encouraging the people to see that they are connected. Encouraging the people to see that even if they may not think on every single detail the same way, that there is a deep and fuller connection between them. And that is a connection important to celebrate, to acknowledge, and to lift up in love and hope and light. Now, one of the things that Paul absolutely, in my reading of this text, argues against is a concept known as supersessionism. Now, if you're a theologian, you've studied things like supersessionism. It's the idea that the Christian church supersedes Judaism. But that's not what Paul is writing about here. Even though ancient theologians like Augustine and even, let's see, what's the other, Martin Luther, seem to argue for supersessionism, the idea that Christianity, again, supersedes Judaism. But Paul argues against this. And again, draws this connection in our Abrahamic faith tradition. Now, I would also say that this isn't something that we've always learned very well from. Anti-Semitism is still alive and well. There are still anti-Semitic groups and people who try to, I'll try to be nice, who claim to be people of a deep Christian faith and yet argue, well, Judaism's not good enough anymore. Christianity supersedes Judaism. In some cases, we haven't learned from our sacred text and we have some work to do. I think that we, even within the Christian tradition, sometimes struggle with this, right? How long has it been, really, that we've been willing to elect a leader of our country, even though he's Catholic? Not that long. But how do we also divide between various faith traditions within the Christian perspective? How often do we say, well, you know, that's okay. That's the kind of tradition that comes to your door wearing the different kinds of clothes, and I don't want to talk to those people, right? We make jokes about those people, don't we? But if we're going to be honest and real, are we united in some kind, in some way, in some form? Is there a thread of love? Is there a thread of connection between us? But here's one where I'm going to push you a little bit. Right? The way Paul writes about it, there's this connection in our Abrahamic tradition. Well, that's not just Christians and Jews, is it? If we're going to see a connection in our Abrahamic tradition, doesn't that include our Muslim friends as well? Doesn't that include the tradition of Islam? It was just a few weeks ago that we were reading the story of Hagar and Ishmael and how they were cast out by Abraham and Sarah. But God said, I will make a great nation of your people as well. And that's an early history of Islam. Now we may say, well, you know, Islam has a terrorist problem. So does Christianity. If we're going to be honest, so does Christianity. But are we a people of faith? Are we a people who acknowledges a deep and profound and powerful love? Are we a people who are willing to say that nothing can separate us from God's love? My notes have a good way to phrase that. Has God actually rejected God's people? Has God from whom no power or principality can separate us? Separate us from God's people, from God's love? Is there anything that can separate us? But here's where I'm going to push a little bit beyond even what Paul writes. Is there a connection between people in the Abrahamic faiths and perhaps people of Buddhist traditions or Hindu traditions? Is there a connection between people of faith traditions and people of non-faith traditions where we can stop telling other people that they're not good enough because they don't think like us? But we can instead see a connection of love that is bigger than the ways that we divide ourselves? I'm one who sees God as love itself. But if my cousin or if my neighbor is a non-theist, who sees love as love by itself, can't we still draw some continuity there? Can't we still draw some connection there? Can't we still work to be a light of hope in a world that seems to continually try to divide itself? My friends, we can take any number of selected verses from this beautiful text and use it to tell one group of people or another that they're not good enough. But if we read our Bibles faithfully, if we understand the spirit of who Jesus is, don't we see that we're called to be a people who connect rather than divide? That we're called to be a people who love rather than hate? That we're a people who are called to go into the margins and draw people in? That we're a people who are called to lift one another up and not tear one another down? I think that Paul nails it in his letter as he bookends with chapter 11 what he writes in chapter 8. Nothing, my friends, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. However we name love, nothing can separate us. So let us speak as a people of love, a people of hope, a people of light, a people of justice, a people of compassion, a people of giving of ourselves. In this way.
I invite you to join me in being an attitude of prayer. Most loving God, Lord, we come before you this morning just grateful for your presence and grateful, Lord, for your love that has enlivened us and enabled us to be in this space of worship today. Lord, we know that it is this spirit of love that has connected us, this love that we found in this faith that we have, that's enabled us to gather together to create this kind of community we call Pacific Beach UMC. And it's in this community we've learned what it means, Lord, to be a faithful Christian, Lord, to learn how to live in relationship with one another so that we might, Lord, model this kind of beloved community that you have called us to create. And yet, Lord, we confess that there are times when perhaps we've used our sacred texts or our traditions to create these kinds of divisions. We've created this division between what it means to be right and how to do things a certain kind of way, knowing full well that, Lord, your love and grace and mercy shines upon all people. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for this. Lord, that you would allow us to perhaps step back and know that despite the theological differences we may have with others, that there is something that binds us together, that there is something that holds us, and that that thing really is your love and your spirit that flows through all of us. And Lord, we also know there are others, those whom we love, those whom we are in relationship with or would want to be in relationship with, Lord, who perhaps have used their faith to shut us out, who have used their own interpretation of what it means to be a faithful Christian to deny our very own humanity, to deny our very own way of being in the world. Lord, we ask that you would allow us to, Lord, have some compassion for them, Lord, to forgive them. But also, Lord, we ask that you would work on their hearts, that they may be able to see your love in all of your creation. Lord, and we are just so very thankful for your spirit of love. We're so very thankful for the ways in which you have enabled us to move beyond these artificial divisions and how you've challenged us to create community in such ways that we can see how you are and how you live and how your spirit is at work in all these various ways in the world. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Lastly, Lord, we ask that you would keep us mindful of how we're all called to be, live, and act in this world, modeling our life after the life of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.